Well, hello and welcome to our inaugural episode of our first ever podcast that is being produced by the Indigenous Fashion Collective. And we're calling it, I think we decided on The Cutting Edge. And the reason being is that we want to be, we're going to be talking about subjects that are on the edge, that are on the verge of just exploding in Indian country and nationally and internationally. But I loved how you said it, Patricia, that we'll also be talking about things. We're cutting a path forward. We're cutting the way. And I'm so excited to be here with everyone at this table. Let me introduce myself, Lillian Sparks Robinson, co-founder of the Indigenous Fashion Collective and a member of the Rosebud Sioux Tribe, and I'm also Oglala.
Yeah, and I'm Sarah Eagle Park. I'm also a co-founder of the Indigenous Fashion Collective. And yeah, I'm just really happy to be here. I work with Twy La Trou Family Enterprises, and we're excited to talk about fashion.
Twy La Trou, also a co-founder, happy to be here on something that is has been needed for a very long time. I think we're going to get into those conversations and hand-picked, hand-selected the best of the best as we do our first time inaugural meeting.
Excellent. And we're joined by two of the most prominent fashion designers in Indian country, but not just Indian country, I'd say in the nation. And they featured their beautiful designs. We were able to showcase them last night at our reception held here in Las Vegas, Miss Patricia Michaels and Mr. John Faye Kam. So please introduce yourself to our audience.
Hello, my native name is Water Lily. I'm from Taos Pueblo, and I just want to thank everyone for being a part of our podcast today. It is an exciting, important journey, and I look forward to working with this fabulous team of women and Jante. I have much respect, so I'll let you have the board next.
Thank you, guys. My name is Jonte Kam. I'm from Canada, Saskatchewan, and I'm a fashion designer. I'm currently going to school to get my master's at Parsons in New York, and I have one more year left till I graduate. So finally.
Congratulations.
Yes, keep us posted. If there is an actual show or anything that you can invite guests to,
There
keep
will
us in
be,
mind.
yes, there will be a show for the graduating MFA students for during Ash Week in September next year.
2025?
Yeah.
Excellent. On my calendar already. Yeah, we'll be there.
Fabulous.
So, Sarah, I'd love for you to explain, because I think you do such a beautiful job of the importance of the Indigenous Fashion Collective and why it's so necessary this time.
Yeah, sure. I think to like start over. So I think when we're talking about fashion, there's really been this missing piece of advocacy, really, and connecting to business and business opportunities. And that's what I love about working with Twy La Trou, because Twy La is somebody that has created her own personal wealth and is just has all this experience in manufacturing, distribution, and building brands. And we're just looking for that moment to really jump into, Indian country and work with Native Americans. And we saw it as a moment right now in the entertainment industry when you see, Killers of the Flower Moon and Lily Gladstone wearing Jonte Kam and Vogue. It's just incredible. And so, we wanted to really take this moment and really capture it for the long haul. Like, we don't want to be just a trend. We want to for people to recognize our work and our artistry and our creativity and be able to do that matchmaking that we desperately need in the country.
I think what was, thank you, Sarah, and I think what was so important was to create the community. And so in many businesses, whenever they're parceled out or independent, everyone's paving their way on their own. And once we create this community together, and so I think what's so interesting about it is everyone at this table, and I'm so thankful and humbled for some of the things that I've been able to do, but everyone in their own right is superstars. Jonte, what you've done at a very young age, and you're going to school, but school's also going to you because you've already done it. You've already been there. And so you have a lot of things to teach and pave the way forward. school is an added in and it's going to surround you, but you're already there. And Sarah Eagleheart, in her advocacy over the years and now turning to say, you know, I have a lot to bring into Indian country and community and bringing everyone together. I'm going to go around the table. So excited to work with Lillian. Lillian, same thing, independent on what she's done in her vertical, very deep, but interested in going wide and creating community. And Patricia, just so proud of you. I mean, you are the OG in the industry.
Absolutely, yes.
So you have already paved the path forward, and you've always been inviting to everyone to say, you know, guys, come this way. I promise you we can get there.
Yes, thank you.
What I love about working in Indian country and our communities is that we are so open and welcoming to others in our same mm-hmm. industries, right? We're not cutthroat. It's not the same type of competition. And certainly there, of course, in every industry, there's competition, but it's here it's done in a way where we're helping each other. We want to see each mm-hmm. other succeed. I come to Sarah with ideas. I come to Twyla with ideas. And we think about ways to support what we're all doing. Watching the two of you, Patricia and Jonte, come together, talk, visiting last night, and having breaking bread, you know, eating afterwards, it's a beautiful thing to witness because it's really building, as Twyla just said, the community. And I think when we first started talking about the Fashion Collective, that was the whole point, that designers were kind of doing things on their own and that they were facing similar challenges, people in the fashion industry facing similar challenges, but nowhere where they could come together and really discuss and find solutions to what they may be and with regards to distribution and manufacturing and marketing and branding. And we wanted to be able to help create that community. And so our four pillars of the Fashion Collective are culture, creativity, collaboration, and couture. So we're excited to really work with both of you on our advisory committee mm-hmm. As we move forward. So Patricia, just share a little bit about like your journey. Like Twyla said, you're the OG. Yeah. So yeah.
And her dress was at the Cannes Film Festival. Yes.
I saw it and I was really excited. So yes, you've been all over the world too.
Yes. So thank you once again. I think that something that is extremely important for people to realize as Native American designers that we are coming from a small community where we don't have a lot of resources. As far as equipment, fabric, materials, production, and we still then create and put out a new collection. And with those hardships and extremes of creating a collection under duress, I want people to understand that we have never given up, and with the nominal amount of support and understanding who we are, it's our compassion, it's our creativity that has kept us elevated. And now that we have a fashion industry with enough representation of different designers with diversity and inclusion to really explore what the possibilities are, we want to be able to find the support that is needed to really elevate it and keep it elevated, to keep it open. So the people never, you know, come down inside of themselves and fear what can come next, because that in itself has stifled creativity in the past. So now that we have a wonderful platform to recognize the needs of Native fashion culture, I think we can then address the wonderful opportunities for jobs in Native American country. Not only is there just design, but you think about hair, makeup, models, distribution, mm-hmm. storage, marketing, PR. There are more job opportunities in fashion than a lot of jobs out there. It's right up there with health and education and politicians. So if we can bring this into a Native country and come collective as designers to be able to then market so we get better textiles and production, then it'll be a win for us, because we'll have that price competitive and distribution capabilities that other countries do for their people. That's why there are, you know, Milano Fashion Week, and that's why there's Paris Fashion Week, because their country supports their people. So if we get that support in native country, just think what we've done without was nominal support. We're doing 90% as designers production. So just think if we're just designing, wouldn't that be fabulous? What, if we had our own atelier where we have seamstresses working for us, instead of us doing every bit of it, that would just be absolutely amazing. So you really haven't really seen our capabilities yet. And but because of our passion, you know, the sky's the limit.
It's funny that you mentioned I'm probably going to say this wrong. I don't speak other languages. Great. Atelier.
Yes.
Okay. So those are the seamstresses that work on the design or like help to create.
It's your fabulous sanctuary design house.
Okay.
That you create how your production happens, how you see what's going to always stimulate your vital greatness. You know, it's your place. It's your studio.
Okay. Yes. Wouldn't you say, like, culturally, we kind of have that, right, with our aunties and our grandmas? I grew up powwow dancing.
Yes.
And, you know, you have three Lakota women here. So we had our grandmas and our aunties and our moms that sewed and bead and really put together, made sure when we went out there that we were dressed.
Well, and that's part of our love of fashion, right? Because it's like, my first thing I sewed was a chico dress, you know, like, and then, but I, you know, I was,
we're designing without even knowing it.
Yeah. I knew I was designing.
Jingles. Did you change the jingles around?
I do think of that because it's like,
my grandma, who's 80 years old now, she really taught me this really great work ethic, right? Because she would wake up at 4 a.m. and she had sewed star quilts. Mm-hmm. And she had her side business where she made her quilts and all the family would participate in quilting, hand quilting all, and she still does it. Mm-hmm. And she still wakes up at 4 and then she works until 7 and then she would go to work and she was working at the local Head Start as a cook, right? Mm-hmm. So she'd do her job. And then afterwards, she'd go back and she would do it again and sell it. And so that really, I think, led to so many of us and young people thinking about, okay, creativity and sewing and business. And so it has all sort of evolved around there. So where did you begin, Jonte?
I just began in my living room, just making things as a kid, you know, reading fashion books, but it all started with Lady Gaga, of course. That's how it...
Of course. Everything started
Lady Gaga. Yeah. And then, of course, it's the support of my family as well. My dad and my grandfather really supported me of just making things, of creating, and especially the fashion. When I had an actual goal, they were like, go for it. We'll get you $1,000 worth of fabric. We'll get you what you need, and books, materials, sewing machines, all that. They all help you with that. And I think that's really important as well as people in native country to realize that education is so important. And I wouldn't have gotten this far if I didn't go to school, you know? Maybe I would have still been on the res, you know? It's only so far I could go. But with education these days, you have to go to school because it opens up so many more doors. And that's what my dad always taught me, distilled in me, like, since I was a kid. School is so important.
And that's actually something that we want to create and build is, you know, those master classes. Because we do have the OGs like Patricia, the newbies like Jonte, but he just walks on Vogue, it seems like. and I think, like, that's what's so great is being at the beginning of the Indigenous Fashion Collective, you know, it can be whatever we want it to be.
Yeah, and I think that's something important, you know, because I went to education at the Institute of American Indian Arts for 3 years, and then Chicago Art Institute for 4 years, and then studied a year at Santa Fe Opera, and then a year with an Italian tailor outside of Milano. And without the type of education and paths that I was given, I would have feared picking up a scissor, you know, draping, cutting fabrics. But is in the fourth grade, I had a black widow as my pet. And I saw the spider web go, and it showed me not to be afraid. Because no matter what path you're taking, it's sometimes it doesn't have to be that pretty thing that you think a spider web has to be. It just has to be bold, and you just have to be willing to take it. And I think in fashion, if you're going to be that person who's able to just believe in what you're doing, and you have that education behind you, then you won't be held back. You have to have the experience too behind you. You're not going to be held back. And I grew up also going to Fort Yates, North Dakota, since I was 3 years old. And I saw the first fancy shawl dancers in the 70s. Gracie, many horses.
She's still dancing.
I know. And they were dancing fancy shawl with long fringe on their leggings and turning without getting tangled. So talk about Northern, like, oh my God, I'm so a big fan. I love your dancers. And you ladies are much taller. And it's like when we'd race. I don't know what happened, but you're sweet and but usually if you like try to race against them, they leave you way ahead. I'm like, darn, here I'm the fastest in the Pueblo, but Northern ladies are amazing. But yeah, so I think, like we were saying, as Native people together, we're really strong because we have that inner tribal commitment. And to celebrate that through fashion, because we're always preparing the ceremonies, we're always preparing what is going to be sacred for us. I think this is such a beautiful place to nurture. And, you know, I look forward to see what comes from this. And it's such a huge honor.
Well, and what I love about Twyla
is actually, she didn't finish college. She doesn't say that. She says it sometimes, but she went non-traditional. And obviously
is such a hard worker.
And is, for me, I admire, I think I said several years ago, it's like, I know Twyla's only, she's not much older than me, but I feel like I want to be Twyla when I grow up.
Wisdom.
Yeah, it was just the way that she sees the world. And I think that that's something about being Indigenous and having that connection to spirituality and understanding, you know, Twyla will say, you know, she won't say, oh, well, I'm not religious or whatever. But she'll be like, but she's intuitive. I know she's intuitive. I watch her when she sees that connection and like, oh. And I think that's what a lot of Indigenous people have, is that intuition. And we just have to learn to be able to trust.
Thank you. I think that, look, as typically for us, fortunately, unfortunately, our culture, we're always given less than half a deck. We're always are, but it just depends on how we look at it. It is what it is. And I believe that we're the only ones that could have handled half a deck. Because anybody else, you couldn't take it. You couldn't survive the roads or the non-opportunities that we're given. So I mention often that I'm grateful for all of the lack of opportunity, or the lack of, not lack of opportunity, but that we were given less, maybe hands up. So didn't have the opportunity, would have loved to have gone to school, think I would have done a great job, just wasn't in the cards for me because you're working to support your family, or the first one to graduate high school. That was our big win. Yeah, they were, everybody was happy about that. And so I think the approach to it was, wow, I didn't know, or I didn't realize from culture also that I was disadvantaged. I'm the most advantaged in the room. And so you walk in with that because culture gives you that. And you have a quiet, strong confidence about you. The Western world's quite interesting. You know, the Western world, you have to learn how they do business too. Because to us at first, it's foreign. You know, the sharp elbow, cutthroat, non-supportive. I think that that's what first takes you back the first time you sit at Western business tables, is you're witness to this, where you look at these two incredible designers. We were with them last night, and they came in on a phone call to us when we simply say, hey, we need you. Where can we be? How fast? This is how this side of the table does it. And then independently, they're incredible artists, but yet they support each other's wins. They don't cut each other down. They say, how can I help you? How can I teach you? How can I support you? So I think the fun part about what we're doing here is Now that we're gathering our own, now that we're empowering our community and teaching our community to say, okay, let's understand how the Western world works, because once you understand how that works, they're actually the disadvantaged ones. Yes. We are going to overtake, and what we have to teach them on how the cultural community side works, gosh, you know, we're easy to empower and take a position that's long overdue.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think that's where our strength lies, right?
Mm-hmm. Is in our community and coming together and creating that
for ourselves and that,
you know, in our culture, and knowing when we walk in the room, even if it looks physically, we're by ourselves, we have the support of our ancestors and our family with us. I think, you know, we saw that so beautifully demonstrated on Res Dogs in one of the scenes where a young girl was praying, and then you just saw all of the women in her family that have transitioned and gone on behind her. But we've all felt that at those moments. And that's what I rely on to push me through when I'm feeling challenged or I'm not quite sure my next direction. I know I'm being guided.
Yeah, I think I definitely think about younger generations that are coming up. And I think about how, you know, when I was younger, and I'm sure you guys have also seen this, that you had to take the opportunity if it came along. Even if you didn't really know what you were doing, or you weren't totally, you know, the expert or whatever it was, you know, you just, I always sort of looked at it and I would take some time and feel it, you know, because I always felt like, okay, if this opportunity or this thing comes up for me, three times, and I see it coming up three times, I'm like, oh, I'm supposed to pay attention to that direction. Like, let me pay attention. And that's how I really began to have the confidence, because I did feel like I was being guided by Tinkashla, the creator, in the path that I was moving.
Right.
And I think sometimes maybe young people need to be reminded of that.
Yes.
Have you seen this in your work?
Well, my dad always said that your gift will make room for you. And I always believe that to be true, because if I tried to do something else, like career-wise, it never worked out. I always knew I was creative because my dad was creative and he wanted me to be an artist, but I couldn't paint. So fashion design was such an outlet for me to be so driven in. And then that's where all these doors started to open and things falling in my lap. And that's how that really works. That's how I really view it, that your gift makes room for you in your life.
I love that.
Yeah.
Make room for you. I know we're getting ready to wrap
up. I'd love to hear that.
Real quick. When I was in high school, I lived with my grandparents in the old house, but there was no electricity and running water. And I would, back then it was punk rock, and because I was a traditional woman, I couldn't like cut my hair. So I used to tie my hair in a knot and I would spike it out. And then I'd wear five pairs of pantyhose, cut the different layers so you could see all the different colors. And then wear my high heels and we lived upstairs. So we used to have to climb the ladder. And this is in the snow. So it was like, you know, people would go to school from the village, you know, from the Pueblo, just to see like, oh, what's Pat going to dress like today? And I'm sprinting in high heels to get the bus. And then when I'd come home, my grandma and grandpa would be sitting there waiting for me to come through the door, because you open the door and you can see the whole plaza of Taos Pueblo. And grandpa would say, like, I know that you're going to always leave our Pueblo, but you always come back to participate. You're going to be that granddaughter that's going to leave and do wonderful things. As long as you know who you are as a Native American woman, you don't have to prove anything else, or as a Native American man, you don't have to prove anything else but what you know what you're doing. And don't shame yourself. Don't shame our people. Don't shame the town, the state, the United States, human race. Bring back good things and you'll be okay. And so I used to be like, oh, I got this. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was just having to be raised traditionally and having the support of my grandfather, who was Headwater clan leader. Right there, you're already blessed. And I was telling Jonte, when we have that, our ancestors constantly come back to us to remind us when we don't expect it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we're blessed.
This has been such an incredible conversation. And I know we're going to continue having these talks. There's so much to talk about. I mean, I think Sarah, Twyla can agree that just this has given us so many ideas about other things we could focus on moving forward, but we appreciate you and we love you. And thank you for taking the time to showcase and share your creativity and your art, and then as well as your story.
Lillian, thank you so much for having us. And I love your words of inspiration and education. That's what we're here for. And I know we're going to come out with many more topics because that's what we want to do is inspire and educate. And I think we're going to come up with other topics that are interesting to our viewers. So I look forward to those.
And I'm very excited about the Indigenous Met Gala.
Yes.
And of course, we're always looking for sponsors. So
yes, thank you. Yes. And thank you. Thank you, Twyla. Thank you, Sarah. Thank you, Twyla True Fine.
Thank you.
And thank you all for listening and joining. Take care.
Until next time.
Thank you.
Ta-a.
Thank you.
Upshot.